Hi, I'm Brian Hart.
I'm Karen Holman.
And you're listening to
Cool Sheets.
In the coming half hour, you'll hear all about 10 things that we're currently enjoying and using in our lives.
Each of us has exactly 2 minutes to dive in and tell you about one of the things we've chosen.
It might be a book, an app, a gadget, a place, anything goes.
At the end of our 2 minutes, boom, time's up, and we go back and forth until we've shared 10 cool sheets with you.
Cool Sheets is all about fun, interesting, and/or useful things to enhance your life.
We broadcast from our studios in Salem, Oregon, on KMUZ Turner, 88.5 and 100.7 FM, or streaming online at kmuz.org, every Sunday from 9 to 9:30 a.m.
Our website, coolsheets.cool, yes, that's coolsheets.cool, has info about all the cool sheets that we list every week if you want to find out more details about them.
You can also interact with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Here we go with this week's Cool Sheets.
Hello, everyone. Welcome. I am Brian Hart.
I'm Karen Holman.
Yay. All right. I'm back from vacation. Fully rested.
You are not fully rested.
Yeah, right. I need a vacation from a vacation.
Or just a little bit of coffee and, I don't know, something.
And some donuts.
But it sounds like, donuts. Sounds like you had an awesome time.
I did. I had a really, really amazing time. It was a very special trip for sure.
Yeah.
All the emotions, all the fun, and yeah, it was great. And I even have a couple cool sheets to talk about some parts of my trip.
So I thought that might happen.
It could be. I was going to do the whole show, but then I was like, well, I'm just going to do the first two highlights and then maybe throw them in a couple more here and there.
Yeah. So let me guess, is a corgi one of them?
A corgi is not one of them.
Dang it.
Yeah. Keep trying.
No, I'm not going to keep trying. I'm just going to let you do it. We would be here forever.
No, I mean, I keep trying to promote the corgis.
Oh, I think it's done. I think other people do that, like on YouTube all the time.
I have seen one or two. All right, well, I am going to go first, and my first cool sheet has nothing to do with my trip, so again, only a few of them will. But my first one is an Instagram account. Actually, this does kind of have something to do with my trip. So the Instagram account is called Insta Repeat, and Insta Repeat collages images of different photographers that are nearly identical. So it's a really cool site that kind of shows the either subconscious or very conscious way we copycat each other on Instagram. And each week or so that they post something, it'll show these themes of pictures. So it has like the classic picture of someone taking a picture. So it's that person with a camera held up to their eye. You've seen it a million times. Other ones, it's like the one of people rowing in a canoe. And it's funny because sometimes you don't even think about these pictures, but you've either taken them before or you have seen them on Instagram. And I love that fact that it kind of just points us out. And then you find some local gems too. So this is one that is of the rock in Canyon Beach. Is it Haystack Rock or something like that? And so it's really fun. But I like it because it does show you kind of the repeats and things that maybe you thought were original, maybe and they're actually not. And where maybe like, where did I see that before, you know? And just the fact that people are doing things, especially with social media right now and traveling and things like that. In fact, there's an article that I'll also put on our website that talks about kind of the psychology of why this is happening. And it also just, not only you look at shots that are really composed well that you might have copycatted, even if you didn't know about it, but forces you to kind of think of new ways to shoot that shot. So multiple reasons why I like Insta Repeat.
So while Brian was talking, he was showing me the pictures, and I'm looking at the kayak or canoe ones, and oh my, I cannot tell you how many pictures I have taken of that V line, and I keep taking them, and every time I take it, I'm like, oh, I've taken so many of these, and I take it anyway, because I don't know, I love it so much.
It is a cool looking shot.
It is.
It is a cool way to see how these common themes of, you know, the way we angle stuff. And
yeah.
and use composition in photos,
right?
You know, and there are rules to photography that make things look better. So mm-hmm. you want to get that perfect shot, and you love it when you get it, and you kind of duplicate it multiple yeah. times. But then it also kind of points out the silliness of that as well.
I know.
So it's definitely just a site that has a lot of fun. It doesn't mean to make fun of people at all. And in fact, the person that does that site tags everybody that's on it. And sometimes it's pages. It'll be 10 pages
wow.
of those, you know, 12 or so different photos. So there's like 50, 60, you know, 100 different photos that look almost the exact same, all taken by different people. And they'll tag the person. And then the person's like, oh, cool, I finally got
Yay!
On InstaRepeat. It's like actual badge of honor for some people now, because it's usually really good photos, too. So
yeah,
it's just really cool. I like it.
Well, especially, I imagine the one has pages and pages is the ones of Haystack Rock. There's so many of those
yeah,
that people
for
take.
Sure. I mean, really all of them.
Like, yeah.
like they all have, the canoe one, there's 10 pages
oh,
of
really?
Canoes
oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
I mean, you probably have 10 pages.
I have, just me. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Cool. All right, my first cool sheet. I am going to be talking about an amazing human, and his name is Alan Turing. He lived between 1912 and 1954. So he was brilliant. He was highly influential in development of theoretical computer science, and he did a lot of work with algorithms and computations, and he devised something that's now called the Turing machine, which is generally a model of nowadays the general purpose computer. So very early on with all of that. And so he is considered the father of theoretical computer science and also artificial intelligence. And so as a mathematician, logician, and early computer scientist, he helped in World War II, he helped crack the code, crack the Nazis' Enigma machine. He was working for Britain's Ultra Intelligence Outfit when he did that. And it is estimated that World War II was cut short by 2 years because of his work with that. So he was a computer scientist, a war hero in all these ways, and so should have gotten a lot of accolades during his life. However, he also happened to be homosexual. And so because of that, it was a crime in the UK at that time. And so he was prosecuted and he was forced to choose between prison or chemical castration by injection of female hormones, which he chose that. And 2 years later, he killed himself at the age of 41. It is such a tragic story. But there are a few, I'm not even going to say happy ending, but there are a few things that are good from this. So in 2009, it took forever, but 2009, he was issued a national apology by the Prime Minister. In 2014, the Queen pardoned him. And now the Bank of England just announced that his picture will be on the new face of the 50-pound note starting in 2021. Alan Turing.
So, yes, there were some art in one of the museums, I think something dedicated to him, but I didn't get to see it. It might have been a pay section.
Oh,
the
yeah. You must have heard about that. Because that was just announced recently.
Well, I heard about it, yeah. And it was a big deal, obviously, over in the UK.
Right.
Where I was staying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just really, and of course, there was a movie about it a few years ago that got mm-hmm. Oscar attention. If not, it might have even won. I can't remember, but Benedict Cumberbatch played Alan. So it was really good. It's just such a tragic story. But
I know.
They're finally at least admitting wrong, which is a step.
Yeah, it's still just, breaks my heart even talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, especially just because all the amazing things he done, when he could have done, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just
he was only 41.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Well, my next cool sheet is an app, and I feel like I'm probably way behind on this, but I've just newly started using it. I've had it downloaded on my phone for a while. It's called TikTok. It's an iOS app and an Android. It's a social media video app for creating and sharing short lip sync comedy and talent videos. The app was launched in 2017, although it was kind of started in 2010. It's complicated, and I don't want to go into that part of it on this cool sheet. Their mission is to capture and present the world's creativity, knowledge, and moments that matter in everyday life. So think of it as Vine. When I realized that this was kind of the Vine replacement, then I immediately got on it and just love it. And it is gigantic. So it is worth $800 million to $1 billion. It has 500 million active users worldwide. It is the fourth most popular social app now. So it's just behind Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. It's over Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Pinterest, all the other big boys. So it is completely blown up. It's crazy. It has a very young base, so it's a lot of younger kids doing videos, but I actually find that pretty fun to kind of keep up with pop culture and the younger vibrance of the youth and like what they're saying, what their pop culture references are. It also has launched some music careers that I'll get into a little bit later. But one of my favorite things about it is super positive. So this is just a really fun piece of the world that you can go to. All the comments, unlike YouTube where they're just vile, are really encouraging to people. So these are kids that are dancing. There's a dance section where they just dance to music and stuff, and everybody's like, oh, you did great, you look great. I've never seen the positivity like this anywhere in social media, and I hope it stays, because that's the best part about it. TikTok.
How have I not even heard of this? I'm just, my mouth is like, what?
Yeah, so it used to be music.ly. That was okay. In the US for a while.
Yeah.
And then it kind of transformed into TikTok. So that was kind of the complicated part.
Mm-hmm.
It started in China. It's now in 75 different languages. So it's very worldwide, but it was huge in China before it was huge in America. So it's only been popular in America for in the United States for the last couple years. So, and like I said, it was mostly like the youth that were really using it all the time. So that's why we're probably a little bit behind on it.
Yes,
now.
Yes, that makes more sense.
But then when Musical.ly, when it turned into TikTok, it just blew up in the United States as well. And now it's huge here. And yeah, now you've heard of it. So
yeah.
You'll have to check it out.
Heard it here first. Heard it here on Cool Sheets.
I figured, yeah, that even though I felt like I was also behind, that I would not be the only one that hasn't heard of it. So.
Right.
That's why I had it on Cool Sheets.
So why TikTok? It makes me think of it disappears or something, but what is that? Do you know the meaning behind
that? I didn't get into the history of the name.
Okay. It's catchy.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. My next cool sheet. This is something that I love to do, and it seems like last year I did a lot more of this, the non-translatable words. I love other languages. I love it when it's hard to describe something, and so you need a word that doesn't exist or something like that. And I would say across the board, almost all the words that I've talked about in previous cool sheets have all been from Asian cultures. I'm thinking Japanese and Chinese. I think I did have the Swedish one. In any case, this is an article, and it is called Non-Translatable Words in German, which is awesome because I actually know German, so I'll be able to pronounce these. And German is just so great because they're always squishing together words to make one long word. And yeah, I just love German. All right, so I'm just going to give a few examples. And the first one is Waldeinsamkeit. And so Waldeinsamkeit, it literally translates to solitude in the forest. And actually, well, Wald is wood or forest, and Einsamkeit is loneliness. And so there is this idea of loneliness, but einsam, you're by yourself. And so that makes sense together. And there's a lot more to that because it sounds simple, but in terms of how it has been integrated into language and the poetry behind it, there's a really cool story behind it. So each of these words in this article has a lot more to it and how it has evolved and come into society and poetry in other ways. Blaumachen, that's another one. That means to skip work or play hooky. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that. And it literally translates to making blue. And there's all sorts of stories behind that that are very cool. Okay, one more. Backpfeifengesicht. And that means a punchable face. And that's when there's someone you just don't like how they look. And you kind of want to punch them in the face. 9 non-translatable words in German.
Whoa, the Germans. they also have that word. Is I don't know if it's on that article about, you know, getting pleasure in other people's pain. That's like a really famous
Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
I say yeah. they mention it in the prelude to the article because that's one that's so
one
well,
that everybody knows.
Well known, yeah.
But that punch someone punchable face
yes.
reminds me a lot of that because they seem to have a lot of words that are similar of like a little bit negative, a little bit angry.
So
that we don't even have
I know.
Words in existence, but they have several somehow.
Well, they're willing to embrace the negative feelings that they have as humans and that we really all have as humans.
Yeah.
And maybe we're just afraid to
give
admit.
Them a name.
Yeah.
They embrace that. Well, isn't that lovely? I do love those words, though. So I'm glad to see that come back.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll do some more.
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, my next cool sheet piggybacks off TikTok, and this is a new music genre that I really like, and I did not think I would like this because I do not like country music. It is probably one of the only genres that I really just dislike. I don't listen to it often. Now there's the exceptions because there's Johnny Cash and Kenny Rogers and some of the greats, and I don't even consider Johnny Cash country. In my opinion, he's such a mix and his own person. But anyway, people love to point out that I like Johnny Cash and that's country, so I like country, blah, blah, whatever. I don't like country overall. I just don't like it that much. And then I listened to TikTok and I got into this world that kind of launched a couple people's careers. And one of them is Lil Nas X and his song Old Town Road. And he fits into this genre called country trap. So it's like rap music and country music kind of combined. And I do love rap and hip hop and everything in that genre. So mixed in this country beat and twangy and this real cool genre mix, I really love it. I was kind of surprised because this song is very twangy and I just love it. But it also has an interesting story. So he was really famous on Twitter for doing like memes and things like that. And then he was also a rapper. But it wasn't until TikTok kind of caught fire with his song Old Town Road and they started doing these dances. So everybody started doing the dance to his song and it became viral in TikTok and that launched his music career. All of a sudden he got an album. It was the number one chart in country. Then it wasn't country enough. So then it got booted off the country album and then Billy Ray Cyrus did a remix with him because he was upset and it's been 17 weeks on top 100 of the regular Billboard chart, overtaking like Billie Eilish and Bieber and people and Taylor Swift have all never been able to break number one because of Old Town Road. And I love that it propelled like this controversy of not being and a little bit of racist undertones, not being country enough, made it number one and staying number one. It's really great. Check out Old Town Road.
That is crazy that you mentioned this because I swear to God, 4 days ago, my kids played me that song.
Yeah.
I heard it for the first time. And they just said, oh, yeah, here's a song we like. And I was like, huh, this sounds like a mixture of rap and country.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's country trap. Now you know what it's called because
wow.
I didn't know. I just thought it was catchy. And there's another one that I wanted to go into as well. So Old Town Road kind of paved the way to this other one called The Get Up by Blanco Brown. And it is, well, it's now number two, but it was number one on the country charts because he actually signed with a country label. So then they figured, well, okay, so this is a country singer. So it's really weird. The story of how the dynamic of this is super interesting, but it always kind of takes one person, you know, to like get the attention and, oh, it's not country, it is country. And then the next person becomes really popular on the country chart. So if it wasn't for, even though then there's also, well, actually the Get Up was produced a year ago before Old Town, you know, there's all this debate about it. But that is also, it's just people talking about the genre of country trap. And I love it. And both songs, both of them are super awesome and super just catchy, and I just love them.
Awesome.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, on TikTok, as far as their standards, like Old Town Road is pretty much gone. And the Get Up, of course, is number one right now, but it's almost gone.
Uh-huh.
Like right before I left, I was going to do this whole cool sheet, and it's almost like gone on TikTok. Like they're so quick to move on to the next big thing, you know, because that's how social media works, especially something like TikTok. So it's just funny. Me.
Is there any way to tell if it's going to last or if it's going to go by the wayside like Vine?
Well, having that many users seems to fare pretty well. I don't think Vine ever got that many users and ever became the fourth biggest social media platform. And the fact that it kind of started in China and got that base of the 5 gajillion people that live in China, you know, that I think really helped and gave it a really good foundation, because they have offices in like Beijing, Berlin, London, Los Angeles, Moscow, Mumbai, Shanghai, Singapore, Tokyo. I mean, they have tons of offices and they're doing really well. I think they do 1.4 million estimated monthly earnings. So they seem to be doing well, and hopefully it'll stick. They are, like everything in social media, they're trying to figure out ways to kind of make more money and also generate money for content providers. So people that are putting, you know, because like a YouTube video channels make money now. Some of them, that's their livelihood, and they can make up to 6 figures or more doing YouTube videos. So they're trying to figure out how they can do that with the better users of TikTok, which will make it sustain also.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that is one thing that Vine couldn't figure out, is any kind of model to make money. So because it is free and TikTok's free, but there's ads and things that they're punching in it now. So that to help pay for it, I'm fine with that.
Interesting. Okay. On to my next cool sheet. I'm going to be talking about a TV show, and this one has really captured me. And you know, I thought about whether or not to do it because, oh, everybody knows this. Everybody watches it. But I'm realizing more and more as we're in episode 120 of Cool Sheets that it's okay if something is big, because sometimes it helps someone. Either they're out of the loop or they're like, maybe I'll watch it. And then it like kicks them over the edge or whatever. In any case, this TV show is Queer Eye. And I love it so much now. My younger kid, Julian, got me to watch it with him. And I was like, wow, this is really good. And it's still, so the latest episode was just released a couple days ago at the time of this recording, and it's actually getting better and better. So this features what they call the Fab Five. We have Anthony, the food and wine expert, Tan, the fashion expert, Karama, the culture expert, Bobby, the design expert, and Jonathan, the grooming expert. So there's these five guys, and they are essentially, it's a makeover show, but it is much more than that. It started out as a show that was called Queer Eye for the straight guys. So these gay guys come in and they make over a straight guy. And what it has done is it has expanded. Not only it is not a superficial makeover, but they are going in and really delving into these people's lives, what their struggles are, and what they can change, not just externally, but also internally. They have expanded to include women, trans man, gay men as well. And it's just so heartwarming. So many of these shows you will end up crying to because of all the heartwarming things that happen. And I wanted to highlight one of them, Karamo, who is the culture expert, and he has a background in social work. And so he is really, he's not only just, you know, a great TV personality, but he is actually getting in touch with these people and where they're coming from and what they're facing in their lives. So really wonderful show, brings people together. I just love it. Queer Eye.
Yeah, that's cool. I've thought about talking that before, but I haven't seen it enough to talk about it. Well, I know that they also have a podcast that I was thinking about featuring because I have heard that, or maybe it's just one or two of them, or I can't remember if it's the whole group. It was another one that I needed to hear more episodes before I could feature it on here. So I'm glad you did. That's really cool.
Yeah. And I think what makes them all so sincere is that they have gone through their own personal struggles, some of them pretty significant, and they're not afraid to talk about them and bring them up. And so they're not just going in there going, I know what to do and I'm going to have you do this. They're like, they share with the person. It's a give and take every time. So really wonderful.
Yeah. And they're super positive.
Yeah.
And just fun. And it's another show that's just super fun, you know?
Yes.
And it's good to see uplifting, fun things like TikTok.
Yeah, for sure.
And this show, there's so much other things going on that sometimes you need to escape and just feel good.
Yeah. And one thing, I would say one thing that I was like, yes, this definitely needs to be a cool sheet. I was talking to someone who said she watches it with her family, which includes, so she's gay and she has conservative family members. And she said it's one of those things that they can all watch together and they all love and they can all talk about and laugh with and cry with. And so that's kind of what I meant when I said brings people together, because it is just, it sort of bridges, it creates a lot of bridges.
Yeah, and that's great, because anytime you can get someone a little more conservative and maybe not open to that, but then when they connect, and especially connected to the family and to a show like that where they're having real conversations, that's very helpful.
Exactly.
I think, sometimes. And it's a remake of an older show in the 90s or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was really popular with some of my friends, and I never watched it back then, but I'm glad that it made this comeback with all new, you know, the Fab Five are all new. It's funny, when we were actually in, where was it? I think when we were in London, there was these five guys getting filmed down Soho Square, and we're like, and Scott was like, that's the Fab Five. Like, that's them, or Queer Eye guys. And then it wasn't, just one of them really looked like them.
Oh, man, that would have been
But they were
awesome.
Filming something, and you never know when you're in middle of London, you know, it could be.
Oh, yeah.
Could have been them.
For sure.
But it wasn't. So anyway, that was fun. Okay, my next cool sheet is a monument. It's my new favorite monument, and whoever thought I would say that? But it's the Duke Wellington statue in Glasgow, Scotland. So if you already know about this statue, you probably know why it's my favorite. But I love this one description. Edinburgh has a castle, London has Big Ben, and Glasgow, well, Glasgow has a statue with a traffic cone on its head. So that is what it is. It's this guy sitting on a horse looking very noble with a gigantic orange traffic cone on his head looking very silly, kind of like a dunce cap, but it's all meant for fun. So this is the equestrian Wellington statue with, and the guy is Arthur Wellesley, who's the first Duke of Wellington. He was known for defeating Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. And it was, the statue was erected in 1844. And for 140 years, it was basically unnoticed. There's many statues in this area of Glasgow. And then all of a sudden, there was a cone that showed up, and everybody loved it. And the city quickly took it off, of course. And then a couple days later, there was a new one on there. And then they would take it off, and a new one appeared, and they'd take it off. And it was this thing back and forth, and they could never keep it off because people would just always put it back on. And so the city council got really upset because they were always doing this. They were going to raise the platform to make it so it was impossible. And then there was this big outcry from the city, and there was 72,000 fans on Facebook that signed, and 100,000 people that signed a petition. So they ended up keeping it, and now they embrace it. In fact, they put a gold cone during one of the big giant Olympic games that came to town. So they totally embraced it, put this big gold cone on it, and the public quickly replaced it with the orange cone a couple days later. So definitely check out the Duke Wellington if you're in Glasgow, Scotland.
That's awesome.
It's so great. Gosh, I had so much more to talk about, and that 2 minutes went out really fast.
The people have spoken with an orange traffic cone.
That's right. I just love it because I love the fact that it was this kind of just silly. The origins are like, oh, it was like this drunken college student that, you know, after all night at the pubs, he decided to brave and climb this. Because it is a rather tall statue.
Yeah.
So, and people were concerned about safety is what the city said. Plus, they just didn't like it, of course. But how they now it's like part of the tourism package and they use the picture all of the time and they've totally embraced this after fighting it for so long. The people won. And it's kind of this balance of, you know, sticking it to the man and the people speaking, but also just having a sense of humor, having fun. And it certainly is one of the most photographed. I'm sure it's on Insta repeat somewhere, or it could be.
Oh, for sure.
Because it definitely it's getting photographed all the time. And I did ask a local from Scotland, and I was like, hey, so you're a local. Do you think it's funny or do you like think it's irritating? And she's like, you know, it's great. I love it. She's the one that told me about when they replaced it with the gold cone. And I love that too, because the city was like, oh, see, we're cool too. We'll give it this gold cone. And the public's like, no. It's ours.
It's got to be plastic.
It's got to be the orange, like standard cone.
That's awesome.
Like, this is our thing. This is not your thing. You can't adopt it.
Yeah. When I lived in Santa Barbara, I mean, I'm sure it's still there. There's down by the waterfront, downtownish, there's the statue of dolphins. And so it's this pretty, like, yay, we're at the beach and there's dolphins. And somebody... I don't know how they did it, but they attached a bowling ball on top of the head of one of the dolphins. And so there was sort of this, you know, people talking about it in that similar way, but that thing never lasted because, I mean, one, it's like a dolphin is very different from a white dude on a horse from the 1800s. And then it's also Santa Barbara, which is... too frou-frou.
Yeah.
That. So anyway.
Well, maybe if people kept putting the...
That's true. How do you bounce a bowling ball on top of the head of a dolphin? Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of epoxy that went into that, I'm sure. Anyway. Okay. My next cool sheet. I haven't talked about any, like, health type stuff in a while, it seems like. So this one came up because I started doing it. So exfoliation is something that I know a lot of people do, and I'm not really like a beauty type person, so I always kind of saw it as that. And in fact, I have this memory of, I don't know, if I was in my early 20s and I'm like, oh, exfoliation, this thing you're supposed to do. So I just went to the store and I got this stuff that's like, this is a great exfoliant. It has ground up peach pits in it. And I'm like, oh, that sounds good. And it was horrible. Of course, it just ripped my face apart. And so I never did it again. Okay. And then we fast forward 20 years and I've learned more about it. And actually, I learned about it from a guy who said he'd, and you know, very masculine guy who was talking about it and saying how great it was. And I was like, oh, I'll check this out. So it turns out it is actually good for you more than just, oh, I want bright glowing skin, that there are a lot of benefits to it, health benefits. And you are increasing the blood circulation and lymphatic system. It can be very beneficial in that way. It can help new skin cells. If you have issues with ingrown hairs, it helps a lot with that, breaking down fatty tissues and drains, helps to drain toxins from your skin and things like that. So there's a lot more to it. And I do want to say, and that's why I'm going to have two links, one that just talks about the benefits of it, but one that's from the American Dermatological Association that talks about how to safely do it, because you don't want to do what I did with those friggin' peach pits. And so you do want to be gentle. You can do it mechanically. And there are also very gentle, more chemical way of doing it. And I say the word chemical and that sounds so harsh, but there are natural oil-based fatty acids from plants that you can use that do it too. And I have found it to be very helpful myself. Exfoliation.
That's cool. I have an exfoliation brush. I don't use it that often, but yeah.
Yeah.
I've been into it for a little while or reading about it and stuff. Yeah.
As long as it's soft. I mean, of course not. If it's really soft, it's not doing anything. But
right.
That's really the main thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And this one, that's what it's made for. I think it's called an exfoliation brush because I was reading about it with Wellness Mama. She talks a lot about
Wellness Mama.
She
awesome.
Knows what's up. So,
yeah. She does.
It's cool. All right. Well, this is my last cool sheet, and it is my travel tip, pro tip for the day. And since I just went on a 2-week holiday, I actually didn't come up with this officially until the end of my trip. And I was like, oh, from now on, this is what I'm going to do, because I did it on the last 2 days in Dublin. And I wish I would have done it the first day or first 2 days, because really it was the last full day that I spent doing this. And that is just walking the city. So forget about, especially if you're going to be there for multiple days, instead of hitting all the tourist attractions or whatever you want to do first thing, just spend a day and walk the city from one end to the other. This is if you're able, of course, and if you can do it. But I spent all day. I ended up walking like 20 miles, 50,000 steps or something crazy. So I was tired even myself by the end of the day, but it was so worth it. So the way I tied it in is I was looking at different street art. And there was a map that Carly actually sent me of all the different street art paths that you could take, and it linked to Google Maps. So that kind of gave me a foundation and an activity to do. But what I found out is that it was the unintended benefit was just learning the neighborhoods, getting orientated with the city. So when you look at a map, you know, when you first get into a new city, it's very disorientating. You don't even know which way north or south, east or west is when you first get there. And when you're going from place to place, it's kind of hard to find them. And you have to like, wait, where am I again? But if you walk the whole city, you will be very familiar by the end of the day, and you'll know where everything is already. And it just makes you more comfortable. Plus, there's just these really cool magic moment. So I met a street artist in the middle of a painting. I learned all about street art in Dublin. I met another local who told me the story about one of the street art murals. Like, you just get these really unique magic moments that you would not usually get if you're just going to tourist spots. So put down the phone too, as much as you can, and just walk the city.
I love it. Is that what you were doing when you were sitting? You're taking pictures of street art,
yeah.
And I got a few of those. They're so cool.
I ended up seeing, and this was cool too, because it was two of my favorite things, is street art and just exploring a city. I think I took over 150 or 160 different murals in Dublin that I found.
Uh-huh.
So it is a crazy rich environment for street art. So I was in heaven.
Yeah.
Obviously, but also, yeah, that hidden benefit of just exploring so many different areas and culture within a city, because you really get a people watch and see how different architecture in different areas are, how it's different, and the locals, how they act different, the younger parts of town, the older parts of town. You engage more, I think, with the locals when you're doing that, especially if you do it by yourself, which I think is fun. Yeah, it was just really, really cool. So, street art plus walking around and exploring, two of my favorite things.
Oh, I love it. Yes, that's definitely a pro tip. I went to Paris 6 years ago at this point, maybe, and I really wish I had done that, because I still felt confused by the end of my trip. I was taking the metro around a lot, which is great, of course, but yeah, it was still never really had a feel for the different neighborhoods.
Yeah, it never really just clicks. And kind of also when you're going from spot to spot, you're hitting one place to the next to the next. And yeah, if you take the train or the tube in London, we were taking the tube everywhere, which is fun. And I recommend doing.
Yeah.
Definitely do all that. But when you walk around first, you get that. Everything just kind of clicks and you feel more comfortable. And it feels like you're home away from home when you take that day. It's really cool. I'm going to do it from now on. Every time I go to a new city, I'm definitely doing that first, because, I didn't do it in London. I didn't do it in Scotland. And then I did it the last day in Dublin. And I've done it before. Like, I've done it in New York, but it was like my fifth trip to New York my second trip, like my fifth day where I did that. And so again, I was like, oh, this is amazing. Now I know New York. Now I know the ins and outs and where everything is. Finally, it took forever for that to click in my head. But if you do it the first thing, then it'll just make everything cooler, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you do it first, well, depending on how long you're staying in the city, if you do it the first day and then do whatever you're doing and then do it the last day. And I'm thinking more of like if you're there for a week or two.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just I love that whole thing about being somewhere and really getting to know it. And that's a beautiful way to do it.
Yeah. So, yeah, there were some towns we were only there for one day. So, you know, we had to just hit the ground running and hit all the hot spots. But if you can do it, yeah, definitely take a day. And if you can't walk that much, you know, they do have a lot of these big cities have rental bike, you know, the rental system, bike shares and things like that. You can even do in Dublin, they had, you know, horse drawn carriages and they have walking tours. So that's a little more guided, but it's still good ways, alternative ways to explore the city versus just going from point to point.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. My last cool sheet is kind of another type of life hack, not for traveling though. This is for just being around where you live. And I think I'm going to call this unplanning. So there are uncountable ways to plan. Planners have been around forever that you can buy. There are a million apps with to-do lists and types of calendars. And we all, I'm guilty of this, I know you are too as well, Brian, to overbook ourselves, to double book ourselves, sometimes triple book ourselves. We get FOMO, we get burned out, we're running from one thing to the next. And having to plan in the travel time and all of that. So what I found when I thought of this, because I just experienced it, I Googled trying to find maybe an article or resources of not planning, of the opposite of planning. And what I found is that there's just tons of stuff out there about planning, but not planning. And the thing about planning, of course, is that it is necessary in life and there is long-term planning, financial planning, and all that sort of stuff. But in terms of day-to-day life, having a day, and I, and the irony here is you have to plan it in, but having a day where absolutely nothing is planned, nothing. I mean zero, so nothing, and just see how your day unfolds. And so when I did this, it was unique and surprising, and one of the things that was really interesting is how long the day felt. I didn't do a lot, but in some ways I did. I just did a lot of small, normal kind of things, but in the end, it felt like such a special day. It was amazing. And so what I'm going to try to do is plan a unplanned day once a month. I think I can do that. And I recommend it for everyone. Unplanning.
That's funny because I just saw a book. I was looking on Amazon while you were talking, and I don't know if this is the exact one, but it's called How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. And it was just released in April 2019.
Oh, interesting.
So I think it's becoming a thing, but since you didn't know about that book.
No.
That doesn't even seem like the book that I heard of, but just couple weeks ago, I started hearing about a book, and I actually kind of rolled my eyes when I heard it because I was like, oh God, here's the next thing.
Oh, here's the next thing, right?
Of like doing nothing, you know?
It is so funny.
It's funny because, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that overuse that, and it's just going to become laziness. But it's okay because it's in this book, and it told me to just sit here. And, you know, the multitaskers will kind of make fun of it. And so I like saw all of this playing out in my head.
Yes.
And just laughed. But it is actually very important to just relax and reset and find that time. So, yeah, for sure.
And I think and I don't know what everyone's lives are like, but I think especially for people who do a lot of planning and have a lot of things going on. Maybe everyone does. I don't know. Anyway, I found it helpful for me.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. Cool. Well, all right. That's it. That was a good show. It's good to be back.
Yes. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Cool Sheets. You can find out more about all the cool sheets we listed by going to our website, coolsheets.cool, and looking for the links.
That's coolsheets.cool. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Leave comments for us on Facebook or email us at info@coolsheets.cool. Bye.